30 and Nerdy Podcast is a Studio 66 production brought to you by Tennessee Legend Distillery. Founded in 2017, Tennessee Legend Distillery has become one of the premier stops in Tennessee for crafted spirits. Here, we won't blow that old smoke in your eyes or herd you like cattle just to make a buck. At Tennessee Legend Distillery, we want you to feel at home and treated like a legend. Because here, you are one. Whether it be our Tennessee Wild Man Vodka, our number one selling salted caramel whiskey, our 120 proof Hammershine, the King Snake Bourbon Whiskey, or any of our other spirits, we promise that there is something here for you. We are also your stop for the line of Assassin's Creed products with our partnerships with Ubisoft and Anthem Spirits. You can get the AC-15 Bourbon Whiskey, the Valhalla Vodka, our Edward Kenway Spiced Rum, and a lot more on the horizon for 2024 from Ubisoft, Anthem Spirits, and Tennessee Legend Distillery. Even if you aren't in driving distance, go to TennesseeLegend.com to see how you can get our spirits and merchandise shipped to you. So what are you waiting for? Come walk among legends at Tennessee Legend Distillery. What's up, nerds and nerdettes? Welcome to another episode of the 30 and Nerdy Podcast. I'm your host, the Duke of Nerds, the sweet tea of the Nerdy South, Tyler Mack. And joined by the co-host, the only living juice that I know of now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The doctor of nerdonomics. He's freshly squeezed. It's Josh Davis. What's up, Doc?
Hey, man. It's good to be back. I feel like...
Been a little busy lately. Yeah.
Been a minute. But here we are doing our thing.
Mm-hmm.
In a couple days, it's going to be May.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the year is just rolling right along.
Yes, it is.
How are things, my friend? How's life? How are you?
This was our recording day because it's all and not off for a while. We opened Godspell.
Yeah, you did.
Weekend.
You sure did.
Great reviews. It's gone really well.
Incredible. It was really, really something else. And I'll be honest. I'm pretty easily impressed. Mm-hmm. So I'm aware of that. But I mean, and that's like, you know, I've seen Godspell before and I just was there to support my friends and all that stuff. It's not like one of my favorite shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, several days later, like 5 days after I saw the show, it's still sticking with me. I've still got certain moments like stuck in my head. The atmosphere that you guys created,
mm-hmm.
Not only in, you know, changing the theater around and making it a theater in the round experience, and the set design, which was really, I mean, I loved it.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere created there, and also among the cast,
mm-hmm.
The talent showcase, the voices. I mean, I can't tell you how many times the hairs on my arm were just standing up. In certain mm-hmm. key moments in the music. So I can't say enough about it. I'm telling everybody I know, go see Godspell. I am planning on returning to the closing show. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was really great. So props to everyone involved.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. It's you know, I went in to assistant direct it, not really knowing much about it, only hearing like a few songs here and there before. And, you know, when I started getting into theater and all that in like middle school and high school, like mom talked to me about it. Like I had asked her, like, what's this musical Godspell? And she's like, oh, I remember when that came out, it had some controversy surrounding it, you know, really, really strong
religious conservative people, sure. you know, felt that it was a little blasphemous because in the movie, hippies were telling the story and the way that they were making the parables kind of funny and, you know, showing Jesus in a lighter, fun atmosphere with friends felt, you know, apparently sacrilegious to them. And I was like, oh, so
I think that
they just thought he was serious all the time.
That and I think the fact that Godspell doesn't necessarily depict the resurrection. It shows the crucifixion and like the passion yes. and all that, but it's kind of
added in the resurrection.
Yeah. There's ways to knowing, do it symbolically.
Knowing that we needed to add in the resurrection yeah. for where we're doing it.
Yeah. You guys had, and then some people like don't even do what you guys did where like you had him come up. And I think that's the perfect way to end it because what's the word I'm looking for? Exclamation point. Mm-hmm. Can you really end it on then? There he is. He's back. He's risen. But a lot of people don't even do that. And they just say that his curtain call is that. But I mean, yeah. I don't like that as much. I don't really fall into that belief because that's the storyteller, not
yes
character. Exactly. So, but I thought you guys did a great job with that. And there's absolutely nothing blasphemous or offensive about
it. Yeah. And I think that, the not just in the round, but like the fact that we didn't do ensemble, it was the 10 characters are the only 10 cast members we took. You know, there's no hiding. You can't hide a bad voice, a bad dancer, a bad actor, not just in the round, but when there's just 10 people in a show like Godspell where they don't leave the stage. You know, Judas gets like a minute and a half break near the end of the show, and that's it. And so you have to have the best of the best. And it has just been an immense, they were ready for an audience 2 weeks ago. We've been so ahead of schedule. They've been ahead of, you know, schedule as Anna as a choreographer, Amanda as a music director, Candace with blocking, you know, them with how well they're doing their homework outside of rehearsals. Yeah. I mean, they have just, it has been an experience to witness. It's really been interesting. And it's made me like the show. You know, I can't say that I, you know, want to do the show now, or it's been my top 10 now. But this cast, this production, I would put against a lot of shows. But a friend of ours, Kyle Beery, and Lisa came to see it, and he's directed the show 4 times, and he was just over the moon about it because it's one of his favorite shows. And he was talking about like he has seen many renditions of it too. One even did it like Star Wars, like it was set in the galaxy far, far away.
Weird,
and
but okay.
I was like, interesting. But, you know, no show of Godspell is the same. And it's really cool that this is a script and a show that Stephen Schwartz was like, you can pretty much just set it wherever you want to set it.
Yeah.
You know, do what you want to do with it. We did.
The stories and the music speak for itself. So yeah,
doesn't matter where it's setting is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's,
would be intimidated to do that show after seeing it. And plus, like, I remember walking out thinking, God, I wish I could sing like those people. Every one of them. And also I got to say, Kendall, I don't think I'd heard Kendall sing since she was probably like 14 or 15 years old.
Long time ago.
Probably, maybe even longer than that. So I knew she could sing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea she could sing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get the chance to see her afterwards. I had to skedaddle pretty quick. But when I see her, I'm going to brag on her. So anyway, all this to say, if you're in our area, go see the show.
Absolutely.
Oh, you can. This weekend's your last opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How was your show? We got to see it.
Our show at school, The Attack of the Killer Man from the Sun. We had 4 performances. It was good, man. It was cute. We had a lot of fun with it. We really had a blast. I had 2 different casts, and they all, you know, had their own creative input and creative spins they would put on to the show. we had a lot of fun, and that's really what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And they had a great time, and everyone was happy. We had pretty decent audiences. I don't have huge turnouts for our spring productions because we usually do, you know, no name plays that aren't too expensive to produce and everything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get nearly as much hype as our musicals. But I was pretty happy with the turnout, and we did well, and I'm already hard at work on the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, one of the things that stuck out to me was how each cast supported the other cast.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Just the excitement and the laughs and all that. You could tell that everybody was having fun.
Yeah.
And that was very palpable while watching it.
Yeah.
But yeah, kudos to all the kids. I gotta say something. Our dear friend Tripton came up to me before we saw the show and said, "Dude, you blasted." I guess I can't remember the name of the
Max.
Kid. Max, you blasted Max so hard, and I was like, "Ah,
God, it really wasn't that bad."
I was like, "It wasn't that bad."
It wasn't that bad,
and I probably shouldn't have, but he was like, "No, it's very funny." It was
okay.
Very funny.
I stood up for him.
Yeah, I was like, he was like, "It was funny." I was like, "Oh,
yeah."
At least it was funny to y'all. But yeah, also recently turned 35.
Oh yeah.
Took a birthday trip with my older brother who just turned 41, and we went to Nashville to see Tom Segura.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious individual, very funny man. It was wild because sold out Bridgestone. I'd never seen anything like this. Like, I had seen, we had done Mick Foley when he was doing stand-up comedy. I've seen Ron White live, but I've never really like been to a stand-up comedian
show
where it's like, you know, this material that I'm doing, that I'm honing, will eventually be on my next special.
Right.
So, like, the first quarter of it was very topical stuff, very, like, going on now, talking about Nashville, talking about OJ dying, stuff like that, making jokes at that, stuff like that. But then, like, the next was, like, his special, like, what's going to air on Netflix when it drops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Come Together Tour. And literally all over the arena, all over the Jumbotrons, they had these little cards on the seats. They had vocal reminders like, you pull out your phone when the show starts to even answer a phone call, they'd kick you out.
Yeah.
They had ushers at every section. Bottom of the stair, top of the stair. People mm-hmm. in the front, each row had an usher, like on the wings, and just they were all yeah. they were there was to look for phones. And it never hit, it never made me think, like, oh, well, of course he wouldn't want this material circulating anywhere.
Right.
Because he wants people to go to the rest of his tour and watch the special.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, damn, they had that place locked down better than Marvel and Disney leaks not getting out sometimes. Some of those,
serious
I think,
stuff.
Are controlled leaks. But, yeah, I was like, oof. I hope no emergency happens and I have to answer my phone because I get my ass kicked out.
I guess you'll be kicked out.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was a great, literally like a 24-hour trip. Like, we pulled out of Christopher's driveway in Knoxville at a time, and almost 24 hours later, we pulled back into his driveway at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a quick, and it hit me, man. I was like, those are harder now.
Yeah.
Those 24-hour quick, big, fast trips, events,
yeah,
they're hard to recover from these days now.
Yep.
And I felt that for 3 days. I was between the ache in my stomach for 3 days later from laughing so damn hard to just being exhausted. I was like, whew.
Man, I still have, we closed our show at school 8 days ago.
Mm.
I still haven't recovered, bro. I'm still dragging. And like, we really kind of took it easy last week, in my class. They did, mm-hmm. they worked on their movie projects I was telling you about off the air and stuff like that. Weekend, I did go out with, I took Emma to see the kids at prom.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Dave and Buster's and stuff. And that's, you know, going out with a 6-year-old and, you know, that wears you out.
Requires energy.
And then yesterday I did nothing pretty much all day. And I just am just, ugh, I'm so tired. We're getting old.
Mm.
We are. Mm.
Absolutely. And it made me realize that, like, it was like, you know, we've had Tom Segura. We've got a trip to South, a very quick, almost there and back trip to South Carolina, not this weekend, but next weekend to watch Gustavo graduate from the College of Charleston. We've got closing weekend of Godspell this weekend. We've got Maddie's birthday.
Are we doing Metrothamcon?
When is that?
It's the same weekend as graduation for me. So it's 17th, 18th, 19th.
Should be able to. Yeah. I would like to because Emily DeRaven will be there from Once Upon a Time.
Well, you told me that last year they said they wanted us to come back.
I
want to reach out.
Get back with her.
Jody Benson's going to be there too. So yeah. I want to get her doing a video, break a leg for my kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good one to do. We start something right in rehearsal tomorrow. So I started to realize, I was like, because the reason that I try to stay so busy is my mind is a very dangerous place when it's idle.
Mm-hmm.
I start to think things like, you know, like recently I've been battling back and forth with like this insecurity of like where I stand with people and in our circle and like people, you know, do they really like having me around? You know, like, do I annoy people? Stuff like that. And like, so I try to stay like constantly busy to keep that idle mind from running amok.
Amok.
But then I, you know, like the other day I started to realize like, however, once something rotten's over and they're doing Finding Nemo, which I'm not involved with a bit, it'd probably be good to just not do, to just be for a few months.
I was telling everyone how relieved I was for the spring show to be over. School, because this is the first time I've not been in production of something since August last year. Not to mention Clue and Charlotte's Web and all that stuff. And I was thinking about how I was at the new Encore space every day, it felt like, for the first several weeks of the year. And then I thought, Tyler really has been, because you went from Charlotte's Web right into Godspell.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going right into something else. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I know you love it. I couldn't do it. I mean, I was so worn out, so burned out. I mean, I'm already working on Little Mermaid stuff, but I have to. I don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
I'm going to be.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of busy, Studio 66 is, you know, we Between Two Barrels is now on YouTube each week. Usually the day after Between Two Barrels drops on audio, we post the YouTube video. And in all honesty, the way that we've been kind of been doing that is the base content is the audio podcast, Between Two Barrels podcast. The YouTube, you get a little extra content in there that wasn't aired on the audio.
Little extra
and then
cheese.
On Patreon is the full, you know, like dead time, like pre-show conversation, post-show conversation, deeper dives into whatever we're talking about. So there's literally three tiers of content you can get from Studio 66 and Between Two Barrels and 30 and Nerdy and Cocky Top when football season kicks back in. And, oh, God, the draft was this past weekend. Joe Milton went to the damn Patriots, man. Ugh.
I thought you were talking about the WWE draft because
the WWE. We will get to that. Yes, the
that
WWE
was this weekend.
Was this past weekend too? It was this past weekend as well, but we will get to that. But yeah, big TLD news. Gallito Supremo, the Far Cry spiced rum, is on pre-order. Go to lovescotch.com or antheumspirits.com to get that pre-ordered. We also have quite a few more over the next, pretty much the rest of the year, at least a month, every other month, something new will be releasing from Tennessee Legend Distillery or partnered with Antheum Spirits. So a lot of stuff coming out at TLD. Don't forget to follow on social media. One of the big things I wanted to talk about is this announcement of a live action Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie.
Yeah.
When I first saw the news about it, I was like, but then I got to thinking, that'd be pretty cool. You know, I only saw the first G.I. Joe. I couldn't tell you what happened in two or if there was a three or, you know, I did eventually find out that Channing Tatum's character did die in like early in two.
Yeah, like the first 10 minutes, I think.
So I was like, weird. What the shit? Like, yeah. But yeah, I would imagine The Rock will be involved somehow. He's involved in both G.I. Joe and he was, John Cena was involved in a Transformers movie.
Yes, he was in the Bumblebee movie.
The prequel, the Bumblebee movie. So be interesting to see what characters from both franchises come out, because this, you got to think, that's going to be one of the most expensive cast lists, probably.
Well, I don't know. Why do you think that? I mean,
the Transformer voices alone, whoever the live action characters are, which I would imagine
Anthony Ramos is going to be one. Because he was in the Beast Wars Transformers.
Beast Wars,
movie.
Rise of the Beasts or whatever.
Yeah. So they alluded to this G.I. Joe thing at the end of that. Yeah. So I already knew this was happening.
If you get any of the Joes from the other live action movies involved, it could be a pretty expensive cast, but also, you know, you think like Michael Bay and all that, expensive explosions and action and CG and stuff like that. So I'm interested to see the story they make work. And plus, I think it's a brilliant marketing opportunity, because like these were two of the main IPs outside of He-Man and Ninja Turtles in the 80s and early 90s. So why not? You know, why not do it? Everyone else is doing these big universes. So why not set up the Mattel universe?
I'm wondering how the, what was it? The last Transformers movie. I'm wondering how that did, because I don't remember it. I didn't think that it did that well. So it's interesting that,
The album was fantastic. Tell you that much. All that 90s music was awesome.
Okay. $439 million at the box office. That's not bad at all. So, yeah.
Wow.
I guess it was all right then.
It's crazy that they don't get the big mainstream like conversation happening about their success all the time, but they always make good money as movies. Because like you don't hear them in conversation with like, you know, like, ooh, Doctor Strange did $1 billion or whatever, blah blah blah, or this over here did bad, but they. Those Transformer movies always are successful at the box office, but you don't hear like massive global conversation about it.
It's one of those things like Ninja Turtles and stuff. Like it's always going to do well because there's the generations that loved it before and now they're taking their kids and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I think there's always going to be room for Transformers, Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joe, 80s, 90s nostalgia. I think there's always going to be a place for that.
Allegedly, they're working on a live action Ninja Turtle movie that's like the Last Ronin storyline. Allegedly. So that's interesting.
Okay. Well, that's cool and everything, but I'm all in on the animated stuff they're doing right now.
That animated movie was fantastic.
With Mutant Mayhem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good. Excellent. So whatever they're doing with that. That's what I'm more interested in.
Yeah.
But The Last Runner, that's a great story. Like I read that comic recently, actually. Mm-hmm.
It is a good story. I read an article recently First off, I read an article the other day that said like Tennessee as a state was, I can't remember if it said the top five or the top 10 most stressed out states.
Oh.
After like a 2023 like study or something that said
I probably
we were in the top 10 or top five most stressed out states.
A quarter of it myself.
Yeah. But yeah, this other article I read is it's about Infinity War / Endgame.
Okay.
And I should have talked about the author. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's answering like a question like, what have you something you noticed in Avengers Infinity War / Endgame recently that you think some people may have missed? And one of his theory is something about Doctor Strange seeing Thanos die or seeing, you know, the outcome. He goes on and say, he says, in 2016, Doctor Strange, we learned some of the limitations of the Time Stone and the Ancient One. She says, I've spent so many years peering through time, looking at this exact moment, but I can never see past it. I've prevented countless terrible futures, and after each one, there's always another, and they all lead here, but never further. You wonder why I see it, what I see in your future? I never see your future, only its possibilities. The limitation is underscored in the 2019 Endgame when the Ancient One is talking with Professor Hulk. She doesn't seem to know any details about the future. Presumably, she could never see past her own death in 2016. However, in 2018 Infinity War, we got a different story. Strange says, I went forward in time to view alternate futures to see the possible outcomes of the coming conflict. Then he turns to dust. Did Doctor Strange see past his own death? Could Strange see any of the events that occurred during the five-year lapse? If not, then how could Strange have seen all possible outcomes? If we assume that Strange cannot see past his own death, like the Ancient One, and we further assume that Strange is only able to predict the endgame victory because he was resurrected to see it, when the 1 in 14 million plus possible outcomes makes more sense. Strange can't see all possible outcomes. He can only see the outcomes where he lives. Presumably, there were many possibilities where Thanos is defeated, but Strange himself was dead before it happened. So Strange could not see those outcomes. Strange had to find an outcome where not only Thanos was beaten, but Strange was alive to see it happen. Perhaps that's why the 1 in 14 million odds were so astronomical. We now have another clue from Disney Plus series, Hawkeye, that from the snap from Yelena's point of view. For those who were dusted, it felt like literally a blip in reality. Strange wouldn't have been able to see any of the events that occurred during the blip. Right?
Oy, oy, oy.
And then I started to think, there are people, Josh, that have the time.
Yeah, that's
there are people that thinking. Exist in this world, apparently, that have the time to do this sort of deep analyzation 6-7 years later.
And not even get paid for it, probably.
Yeah, and not like they're just on their time just noticing these things and publishing these big articles.
I commend the dedication.
The dedication is beyond mine.
Leaps
and I never
bounds.
Thought of it. You know, like that's such a deep, that's such a
Okay, I'm sorry. I have ADHD. I can't even remember what it was. What was the point that they were trying to make? I don't understand.
That there could have been possible outcomes, I guess, where Thanos was still defeated. And maybe we didn't have to lose Tony, but he couldn't see those because he wasn't alive to see the victory, I guess. Or is he more powerful than even the Ancient One? Or is he so damn selfish that he only chose an outcome where he did survive?
No, I think that the Tony thing was the one and only way it could happen. Mm-hmm. And I think he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how did he see that? If he was blipped?
Yeah. How was he able to see that?
I guess.
How could he see into the future past the blip when technically the Sorcerer Supreme or whatever isn't supposed to see past their own
death? So, yeah. So how would he see Tony doing the switcheroo?
Yeah. If technically.
Maybe he saw beyond that future and he saw where he was told of it.
Maybe.
I mean, that's kind of a lame way to.
Reason that I wanted to travel down this hole was there are people who are out there.
Yeah.
I
think that takes some of the fun out of it when you find things like that.
When you're overanalyzing that much.
He's Doctor Strange, and that's the way the story was supposed to go. And exactly. Tony was a hero, and don't you ever speak ill of Tony Stark ever again.
How dare you?
Don't you dare besmirch the good, by God, name of Tony Stark.
Funny thing about RDJ, in doing this most recent episode of Between Two Barrels, I learned that one of the legends coming out of Tennessee that we talked about was the late legend Leslie Jordan.
Right.
Born in Chattanooga, moved to LA, got hooked on drugs and alcohol for a while, and one time shared a jail cell with one Robert Downey Jr.
Wow.
When they reunited in their episode of Ally McBeal together, in an interview, Jordan said that Robert would just stare at him at times and go like, I swear I know you from somewhere other than like I've met you before. And he went, I feel the same way. And it took them like weeks to realize like, oh shit, we were in jail together because of alcohol. Like we both were in the same jail cell at one point.
We were in
LA.
The drunk tank together.
I was like, that's crazy. It's insane. The last thing we're going to talk about before we step away for a quick break is some of the recent Fanboy Expo announcements. We told you it was going to be a magical world of announcements. And it was. This July in Knoxville, Fanboy Expo is hosting the Weasley twins.
James and Oliver Phelps.
As well as Ginny Weasley.
Bonnie Wright.
Absolutely. Correct. Big names. Sean Gunn's going to be there.
Yep. Michael Rooker. That's awesome.
Danny Glover, who rarely does these things. So, like, what the heck?
Yeah. As well as Danny Trejo.
We are getting a Wonder Years reunion. If you're into the Wonder Years, I really hope to get that we can meet Winnie Cooper.
And speaking of Transformers, Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime, will be there. And Eeyore.
Yes, the original Eeyore. Jim Cummings is coming to Orlando this September for Fanboy Expo. So if you're in the Orlando area, get ready for that one. One of, in my opinion, my top voice actor of all time.
Yeah.
Just a lot of fun happening at Fanboy Expo this summer. And your boys are going to be there. We are going to be involved in the cosplay contest again and possibly much more. So be on the listen and the lookout for that. Follow Fanboy Expo on Facebook, on Instagram. Check out their website. And if you really want to come see just a great group of the nerd herd having fun for an entire weekend, meet some amazing people, and just let loose and have fun with your brethren and your sister nerds. And come meet the 30 Nerdy Podcast Boys. Come down to Knoxville, Tennessee in July. And we're going to have a great time. So check out that website and follow them on social media. We are going to take a quick break. And when we return, we will be discussing X-Men 97.
Na, 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 na.
Tickets are on sale now for Encore Theatrical Company's production of Godspell by John Michael Teblick and Stephen Schwartz. This multi-award-winning, family-friendly show is about love, joy, the power of hope, the passion of stories, and the bonds of a community. Godspell will be performing at Encore Theatrical Company at 2808 West AJ Highway in Morristown, and will run April 26th through May 5th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 2:30. For tickets or more information, go to etcplays.org or call 423-318-8331.
What's up, guys? This is Logan, better known as the Rev of Rents, on yours truly, 30 and Nerdy Podcast. Exciting news coming to you because your boy now owns a business, and that business is Shane's Rib Shack in Georgia, McDonough, Highway 81, and we've got some delicious food. We got ribs, we got wings, we've got tendies, we've got boneless, we got everything that you want. You like burgers, we got that too. And I would be very appreciative if you showed me the love that you showed me here, right here, the 30 Nerdy Podcast, and go and find me in Georgia. Eat some of that Shane's Shack food. And if you do, always tell them that 30 and Nerdy sent you. And I promise, my word right here, you mention 30 and Nerdy, you get the free sweet tea. That's on me. And that's a promise, because the Reverend Rants never breaks a promise.
Welcome back, nerds and nerdettes. We are welcoming back with the conversation about X-Men 97.
Yeah.
And I'm still heated. I am just bereft with grief.
Yeah.
In the death of Mon Ami, the Card Shark, the Raging Cajun, Gumbo, if you listen to Wolverine. The death of Gambit.
What a way to go, though.
God, he was a hero.
And I love the name's Gambit. Remember it, the name of the episode.
Yeah.
so sweet.
And also, before all that death and destruction happened, we lost Morlocks. We lost Gambit. We thought we lost Magneto as well. We don't know where Madeline is. Lost a lot of mutant lives. But before that, the Watcher.
Yeah.
That?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was watching this scene take, like, play out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big event in this timeline.
So it's like that, holy shit, this is Uatu. This is, we've seen this. This is the guy from What If. Why is he watching this event? And who is he later going to pull from the X-Men universe to help with the next multiversal problem, like he did in What If season 1 and 2? What will happen? With him being seen, with us also seeing Cable in that episode, mm-hmm. with the realization, you know, Madeline figures out, like, oh my God, it's Nathan.
Yeah.
They just now, you know, we never got to know that. Neither of them never got to realize it in the original series.
Right.
Boom. Flash forward in 1997. And she looks in his eyes for the first time. And it's like, Nathan, you survived. And then he disappears. So with that being said, and Cable being seen in this most recent episode as well, and Bishop, you know, off in the future somewhere, apparently saved Nathan's life. It worked. I feel like time's really going to play a part in this.
Yes.
And I believe in this, somewhere in this three-part finale that's about to happen, we may get a fix.
Yeah, I think they'll return to that moment somehow.
And save Gambit.
Yeah, and everybody else.
Yeah.
I got to say, man, that episode, I mean, and this is a cartoon, but I felt heavy. Like, yeah, it was so heavy. And, you know, we're the generation who were kids when September 11th happened. And like, we remember that and the changes and the impact that it had on the world after the fact. And, you know, all this stuff going on in the Ukraine and in Israel, Palestine, and all this stuff going on in the world, like it really hit heavy. I don't want to say I was uncomfortable watching it, but I mean, I kind of was. And I think that was the point. Mm-hmm. Like it made it real. It made you feel, which is always what you want. So I think that despite the fact that we're both heartbroken over Gambit, I also thought
Nightcrawler was dead.
It came close.
He came very close. I was like, oh, God.
Anyway, but that was my favorite episode.
The death of Sebastian Shaw. He died.
Did he? I don't remember that.
He was standing with Emma when the happened, and it flashed to like she, even though she survived, you know,
she
found out because her diamond
form
being kicked in a new power she didn't know she had.
New mutation.
Sebastian was beside her, so we can only, you know, assume that like he didn't make it.
Yeah.
So a crazy, crazy episode. A lot of death, a lot of destruction, a lot of playing on that. You know, there's still a world where even though this is Genosha, this is a land where mutants can go and be mutants and be free and be themselves and shouldn't have to worry about it. They're joining the UN. We're moving forward. And then, boom, this terrible destruction and death showing that hate hasn't gone anywhere.
And not only the, you know, overall tragedy of all the people dying and everything, but the tragedy of the fact that Rogue chose Gambit, like she was torn between Gambit and Magneto, and she finally decided like she chose him. And she was sort of having her goodbye with Magneto, and then she gave up all that to be with Gambit, and he never knew that. I can't feel you.
You said the same thing that Wanda said.
Division.
What a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
And then we, of course, move to Life and Death Part 2, back with Storm and Forge.
I can't remember a ton about the episode. Yeah. I only watched it once.
Probably because I was still sitting in misery and heartbreak from the last one. But Storm gets her powers back.
Yes, I remember that happened, but how did she get them back? I can't
fighting
recall.
The adversary, basically.
So it just like kicked back in?
Yeah. A lot of it had to do with self-doubt, not being good enough, that she was a goddess the whole time and blah, blah, blah. And like, she's the Storm. She'll always be the Storm. And she helped cure Forge. And I guess her next move would be to rejoin the team eventually. But they were watching Genosha happen on TV. And also in that episode, we got the Charles Xavier stuff.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yes, that was it. And he was about to, you know, become the emperor of the Shi'ar Empire. And he
get married.
Said, nope, I'm going to go back home and save the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. And we get some Kree talk in that episode, talking about the Kree and stuff like that. And we get to see.
Was that supposed to be Ronan the Accuser?
Yeah. They call him Ronan.
Yeah, I thought so.
So that's Ronan the Accuser. Little Kree, Shi'ar war happening still. No sight of Carol, though. But no fear. Have no fear. There is, in the next episode we're going to talk about, the most recent one, Bright Eyes, a member of the Avengers does show up.
Yeah.
But at the end of that, Xavier gets this massive blast of telekinesis. I imagine it's either Gene or Pryor kind of putting all this psychic problem out there that even he feels. And he knows that some of it, that Gambit was killed. He has a vision and he's heartbroken. And he says, the wedding's off. Send me back to Earth. Mm-hmm. I need to be with my X-Men. Somewhere in these next three episodes, we're going to see the return of Charles Xavier. But then flash forward to this past Wednesday's episode, Bright Eyes, where you get a heartbroken, angry Rogue.
Yeah.
Just wow.
The eulogy. The eulogy from Nightcrawler.
Oh,
so good.
So good. Wolverine, sad.
Yeah.
Sad Wolvie. And I like that this, you know, even though I am a Wolverine fan, a massive Wolverine fan, I love that they've kept in this series like they did in the last series, like they haven't like highlighted any individual mutants. You know, like Wolverine was the big one to kind of come out of the 92 series because then they evolved and they're like, oh man, everybody loves Wolverine. So then we got a Hugh Jackman. Then we got, you know, but like this series has been really good about keeping that. No, they're a team. They are all individually just as important.
All of them have been so cool. Like they've made all of them so awesome. Cool.
They made these modern writers made Cyclops not just cool, but relatable.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, less of a dick, not as sarcastic, and just relatable, and giving him a lot of really cool action moments, but also some storyline stuff where you actually are like, damn, that's tough.
The scene when he was being interviewed by the reporter and he was of course being civil and, you know, cooperative, and then he's reminded about his son and the treatment that they received at the hospital. This guy was like, oh yes, I delivered the famous mutant baby. And he was like, no, he didn't even want to do it. We had to steal his knowledge to safely deliver our child. And we put our lives on the line all the time. And thank God we're better than you, because if we weren't, you'd all be dead.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, go Cyclops.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a little bit of, That's the normally the thing that like Wolvie or Morph would say, you know, but Scott has some sharpness to him this season and some just awesome fight moments. And we got to see Cap and Ross, Thunderbolt Ross.
I was so hoping when I realized that was Ross, that was going to be Harrison Ford
voicing it.
I listened real close for a minute to be sure, but no.
Yeah. Neither Ross nor Cap was their actual MCU person voicing it. It is a different multiverse, a different world.
Different timeline, different
timeline,
whatever. Yeah.
But the larger animated universe connections that implies just having them in those scenes, like is big. It's, you know, showing that, you know, there's still this greater animated Marvel universe, and it could open doors for future things outside of X-Men, which would be great. Rogue throwing the shield all that way, saying, well, I guess you don't need this. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Love I don't even like Cap very much. So I was kind of like, all right, this is cool.
Sorry, I have to do this by the book. Well, I guess you don't be needing this. Good luck finding it. Fetch.
Didn't Rogue like kill a guy?
Rogue did
or
kill
allow
a guy.
Him to die and not save him.
Let him go. It was Trask, Bolivar Trask. But what we learned is that it didn't kill him. He has been Sinister has implemented this disease, this techno disease that was created to make him a human sentinel.
Yes.
So he actually didn't die, but it was there. She did drop him. Since he said, I have nothing further for you, she said, then I don't either. And it shocked everyone. Logan's mouth was even like,
Yeah.
But he didn't
die. It's kind of shocking.
He is a human sentinel. It took out most of the team. And in those final moments of this episode, we not only find out that Magneto is alive, we find out that he is being held captive, and I'm guessing either going to be tortured or mind manipulated into being a bad guy again by not just Mr. Sinister, but a villain that not a lot of mainstream are going to know, Bastion. Bastion is the human sentinel, basically. It seems like he's very techno. He's I don't know how to word it. And I remember first meeting Bastion before reading him in the comics. He was in a video game, one of those X-Men video games that were like, it was storyline, but like each fight was like Mortal Kombat. That's where I first met Bastion in like middle school or high school. And I always thought like he just looks like a human sentinel. But yeah, so Magneto is alive but captured. But and here we are. The next three episodes are the three-part finale.
The writing on this show has just been so good, and I've really enjoyed this. I hope that they'll give us another season. I hope that we'll get some more of this. Or if not, X-Men 97, maybe like, I know they're planning on doing some kind of Spider-Man like freshman year prequel thing or whatever. But maybe consider doing something with the old 90s Spider-Man.
I think Feige and some of the producers have said like, yeah, that, you know, we're already working on season two.
Good.
But we also want to do it past it, but after start working on season three and stuff like that quicker, so that like it used to be, it was, you know, not long waits before the next season dropped.
Right.
So we know we're getting a two, and the way that they talked is there's plans to just keep going. So that's fantastic. That's awesome.
I certainly hope
so. A lot of exciting stuff. So final thoughts on X-Men 97. Is Charles going to show up and save the damn day?
I think so. I'm wondering if maybe they're going to, you were saying Magneto's going to be like controlled or whatever and turned back into a bad guy in some way. Maybe they use him to wreak havoc and, you know, show everyone, oh, the mutants really are bad, and turn everyone against the mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, I think there's going to have to be some kind of time travel, something or other. I think Gambit's got to come back.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
What about you, nerds and nerdettes? What are your thoughts on these last three episodes? We're about to get into the final three, the three-part finale. Where are you standing? Who you liking? Are you upset? Do you think everything will be all right in the end? Let us know, 30andnerdypod@gmail.com. Hit us up with the hashtag on social media, 30andnerdypod. So we're going to step away for a quick break. When we get back, we are going to be talking about some wrestling.
Wrestling.
That's right. When 30 and Nerdy Podcast returns.
Hi, this is Danielle from Disney's Hamster and Gretel, and you're listening to the 30 and Nerdy Podcast. Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for the ice cream.
Then. Now. Forever. Together.
Welcome back, nerds and nerdettes, and we are in the wrestling world talking about some wrestling. We are a couple days away from, or a few days away from Backlash.
Mm-hmm.
Mania is over. We're standing in a really good place still. We've got some new champs to mention, like Cody Rhodes as your undisputed. Drew McIntyre won the World Heavyweight for 5 minutes. And then got that wonderful cash in by CM Bank.
That was great.
So Damian Priest is our World Heavyweight Champion. We finally split the tag titles with A-Town Down Under tag team taking the SmackDown titles. And the Raw titles are being taken by Miz,
the Awesome Truth.
The Awesome Truth. The titles are split on the brand. I love it. It was great while it lasted, but we are getting some definite, a little bit more brand, full brand division now and moving forward. So definitely good to split those up. New U.S. champion, Sami Zayn. Or a new IC title, Sami Zayn defeated Gunther. Be interested to see where we go from there. Chad Gable's a heel now and going after the IC title. Logan Paul retained, but I would imagine Logan will drop it soon because his wife is expecting.
Oh, yeah.
Or girlfriend or whatever. I don't know if they're married. His first child. So I would say he'll take some time off soon, drop that title soon.
Yeah, I would.
Mm-hmm. You know, we lost Rhea to injury, sadly.
Seth is probably on the shelf for a little while.
Yeah. Seth is probably on the shelf for a little while.
Which is sad.
I would have thought that Becky would take some time off too after losing, but I thought of a possible I think they needed a transitional champion. Because I think we are heading towards Liv possibly getting that World Heavyweight.
I think also, though, with her book having just come out, you know, now's the perfect time to.
She was the choice to do it. Because I really think that if she was meant to be World Heavyweight in the long game, she'd have won it at Mania.
That's kind of how I felt, too. But
I think this is Rhea's actually out. So who can we put it on right now? That we know we can't just put it on Liv. She still needs to do the revenge tour thing.
Mm-hmm.
This dive into being a heel again and do revenge Liv before we put the title on her. It was supposed to be all that was supposed to happen against Rhea, but now it can't. So, you know, have Becky win it.
I imagine that Rhea will be big time babyface when she comes back.
Mm-hmm. Little thing going on with Liv and Dom. I'm your mommy now. Type of thing. Will we see Dom?
Did that happen?
It's heading that direction.
Oh.
Getting little stare downs between them. They ran into each other backstage. He just stared at her.
Well, eventually you got to get her away from Dom. Mm-hmm. I think now has got to be the time. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Dom has to betray mommy.
Yeah.
When she comes back as a good guy, make that face run. Some new storylines. The one that I'm really interested in watching yet again, we are still going with Bloodline storylines, regardless if Roman is there or not. And it's still fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
The way that Heyman is selling this nervousness, this scared shitless. Is he going to be attacked by Tomatonka and
Solo?
Like the nervousness, the unable to call Roman, you know, Roman's out. You know, he's healing. Jimmy's missing. I would imagine they're selling that beatdown for a few weeks.
You think they're going to reunite the Usos already?
I think eventually, maybe SummerSlam, we will see old Bloodline versus new Bloodline. Oh, I nice. Think the other Fatu's coming. I think Jacob's coming.
Jacob, too. Yeah, he's been signed.
He'll be. There'll be new bloodline with Solo as the chief. Yeah,
okay.
That'll yeah. be some killer Civil War stuff happening. Some great storyline there. Chad going heel. I kind of hate because I thought, but I hate it because I think they missed out on the successful baby face.
Yeah, the Sami Zayn thing didn't hit for me.
Mm-mm.
It really didn't hit for me.
Not like Sami was hitting all leading up to it.
And I know that, you know, we got to get Gunther on to the next level. Mm-hmm. So eventually he had to lose. I just didn't feel like Sami was the guy. That one really surprised me.
No.
And also, like, it, don't you feel like it's sort of gonna, like, that was an epic reign that he had, longest reign of all time, but that's mm-hmm. gonna be completely overshadowed by all the Cody stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just my opinion. So,
and, Cody's first defense is gonna be against AJ Styles. It'll be a good match.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that pay per view, it's in France, so it's happening at like 3 p.m. So it'll be one of those watch on the replay that night mm-hmm. kind of things.
Yeah. And that's one thing I want to discuss is I think we're getting really close to a point where from the sound of the moves they're making, I think there's going to be a lot less pay-per-views in our country.
Yeah.
It's going to be split and balanced, you mm-hmm. know.
They're doing the Clash at the Castle again.
Yeah.
They're doing, I'm sure there's going to be another Saudi Arabia thing at some point. They're doing Germany at some point mm-hmm. this year.
They're really trying to get a Mania in London.
Yeah. Have they announced next year's Mania yet?
Mm-mm.
I bet there's a,
usually
there's
do
a,
at Mania.
There's a good chance that next year is going to be overseas, and that's why they're waiting so long.
Yeah. Because usually we get the commercial during Mania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. The speaking of some of the roster, we had the WWE draft this past weekend, same time as the NFL draft, and had some big moves, some call-ups, some brand switches.
Sure, sure.
So why don't you take us through those, Juice?
All right. So the first round, SmackDown drafts Bianca Belair and Carmelo Hayes from NXT. And then he promptly came out and challenged Cody Rhodes to a match that night. And Raw drafted Jey Uso and Seth Rollins, even though he is by all, you know, it seems like he's hurt. So. Yes. Second round, we have SmackDown drafting Randy Orton, which is where he already was. And also SmackDown drafting Nia Jax, second woman to be drafted. Raw drafts Bron Breakker, and I think he had been on SmackDown, so I think that was a move for him. And then Raw also drafts Liv Morgan. Third round, we had SmackDown drafting LA Knight, which I think that's where he was. Yeah. And Raw drafts Ricochet. And then also SmackDown drafts The Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman. And then Raw drafts Sheamus. And then in the final round, SmackDown drafts AJ Styles and then Andrade. And Raw drafts the Alpha Academy, Chad Gable, Otis, Akira Tozawa, and Maxine Dupree. And then also they call up Kiana James from NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next round will be happening starting here in just a few minutes on Raw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see who else gets moved around. I got to say, though, I'm looking at the card for Backlash, and right now it's 5 matches. 4 of them are title matches. And I feel like there's going to be some switching around. I think there's going to be at least one title change, if not more.
Yeah.
So I think Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill will take the women's tag team
championship. Yeah, I think that's.
And I'm just going to throw it out in the universe one more time. I know it's useless, but maybe this will lead to Bianca Belair's heel turn. I want it. I need it. We need to see this heel turn. I think that'd be great. That'd be like they could have a little run. Bianca can take her out in a jealous rage. Like, oh, you tried to steal my spotlight, you know, whatever. And then they have a big SummerSlam showdown.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that since they're given Jade the moniker of the Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Which they stole from me. Mm. But
I noticed that.
They would be the stormiest tag team. We're the fastest, the strongest, the stormiest.
I guess.
It'd be a dominant tag team. The two of them are dominant in the ring. They're strong. They're fast. I haven't really bought into Jade's mic skills yet.
Yeah.
I think that's something she's still working on because, you know,
you got a ways to go.
She didn't really need them. And, you know, in AEW, I would say in AEW, the women are definitely treated less than the men. To be honest, that's just what I've put together in my past few years of watching AEW since it came out. I'm just not feeling this Sammy thing. I want to go back to that.
Sami Zayn?
Yeah, because if he retains at Backlash, because he's the face and Gable's the heel, and they keep this storyline going up, I honestly, I don't see where it goes.
Yeah.
That's a payoff for not just
for Chad
watching it, but both superstars.
Yeah.
You know?
That is not currently on the card, so maybe they're going to build up to that one a little bit more. Sammy's not defending. So I think, I think after some time, it should be Chad.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really like Chad Gable. And I would imagine if they're going to cement this, the direction they have to head is he eventually has to ostracize the Alpha Academy slowly, one by one. Maybe he destroys Tozawa. Maybe he kicks Maxine out, uses some of the sexist, terrible, rude things that some of the fans are saying about Maxine, use some of that dialogue, kind of like Johnny Wrestling's wife did.
Candice LeRae.
Yeah, Candice, some of the stuff that she was saying were straight off of Twitter.
Yeah.
People were hatefully saying online about Maxine.
I think that it's an opportunity to turn all of them into monster heels.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe he whips them into shape.
Yeah. It could be that, or he slowly destroys them over the next couple months, pushes them away, ostracizes them, and gets a manager, a talking piece, even though he's already pretty good on the mic. Wins the title. And, you know, you get a couple months of that story of after him winning the title, you know, Tozawa's the first to return to try to take it from him. He gets beat. Otis comes back. He beats Otis a couple times for the IC, retaining. And then, you know, you've got this monster heel. I mean, he's been heel before, but this is an opportunity to be evil.
Yeah.
Monster heel. So
I hope so.
I will be interested to see what happens, but I would have rather have seen this awesome story that they were telling with babyface Chad beating Gunther. That's what I would have sold. That would have been
I agree. But we haven't seen how it all turns out. You know, if it leads to Chad being a really epic heel, then it was worth it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and that could be the end game here.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I did not love the Sammy moment. I'll just say that. Like, I like Sammy, but it just, it didn't feel, I don't know, it didn't hit for me. So I kind of agree with you. I really do. I'll agree with you a lot. But I think that if it turns out that way,
it'll still be worth it.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems that we are heading, you know, Drew McIntyre just signed a multi-year extension.
Good.
A big contract.
Good. I'm really loving Drew lately.
Yeah. It looks like we're getting some more Sheamus Drew.
Yeah. That's
going to happen. And they always tear it up. They always have great stuff together.
I'm just so glad that Drew's not carrying that sword around anymore.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And like you said, the tag titles, I imagine Bianca and Jade will take those. And I don't know who's taking on Bayley.
It's Naomi and Tiffany Stratton, triple threat.
Triple threat?
Yeah.
Okay. I would imagine Bayley will retain.
I don't know. I feel like they're trying to push Tiffany.
I mean, they are, and they will. And Tiffany's great. Tiffy time was fun during NXT. Enjoying where we're at.
Same, man. I look forward to every show. It's exciting. They've got stars. You know, we used to talk all the time about there's no stars.
Yeah.
Jim Cornette says all the time, will someone please hit me over the head so I can see some stars. Mm-hmm. And now there's an abundance of stars.
Yes.
So I am a Triple H guy. I love the Triple H era. It's so cool. Like, we've seen so many eras come and go as wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. And like right now, this feeling of like we're on the verge of this new thing now. So exciting. And I mean, really, we've been in the Triple H era for about a year, to be honest. And but it's just now like established itself.
Because truthfully, the old man has nothing anymore. He literally, like within the last few weeks, sold off the final of his shares. So he's truly out.
Yeah.
Completely out.
Yeah.
So we truly are.
Something we thought we'd never see.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely. For the first time in 40 plus years, a McMahon is not in charge of the WWE.
Yeah. It's wild.
It is wild. Very wild. Switching paths to some of the silliness going on at AEW.
Oh, good grief.
Think that this is kind of like the night that Bischoff spoiled Foley winning the title. And they say that was the slow drop of poison.
One of those big blunders. Yeah, I think so. I assume you're talking about the backstage.
Yes, the release footage of the Punk video, which showed that Punk told no lies.
Yeah.
And it all backfired. Khan being part of a storyline now and getting attacked by his wrestlers and terribly selling a broke, hurt neck gimmick.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that is flying around, some of the offhanded comments in interviews and on the mic from AEW stars about WWE all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it seems like we've been
here. They're losing and they know it.
We've been here before. We've seen this. Yeah. We saw this in the slow death of WCW.
Yeah.
And it all started the same way.
Do we remember the finger poke of doom?
Yeah. Arrogance is where it started. And this is no different. And I don't want to wish failure for AEW, because if both AEW and WWE are top notch, then wrestling fans are eating.
Yep.
You don't want
that's what the people who are all invested in the tribalism and stuff.
Yes.
Don't seem to understand that. Like if there's competition, that's good. Cause it makes them be better.
Cause you don't want,
and it makes it better for us.
You don't want no other thing.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, even though they're still technically a thing, you know, it Hogan and Bischoff were the slow poison that killed TNA too.
Well, I don't know about that though, because Eric Bischoff
before then,
Eric Bischoff did not have any, he was only talent. He had no creative anything. Yeah. He was not involved. He
was really who killed it, but
it was mismanaged and
It was mismanaged.
A lot of stuff like that.
Yeah. It's crazy to see. And I, there are stars that I do not like in AEW. Like I don't like the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't like them as people, and I don't really like them as a team.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the Rockers before.
Yeah.
I like Kenny Omega. I think he's very talented. I think Danielson is talented. Will Ospreay, Edge has got some new life, and it's great. But it feels really weird.
He's already lost in the shuffle over there, though.
Yeah, and it feels really weird hearing Edge try to defend AEW on the mic. Yeah,
that was rough.
Really weird. I'm just like, Edge, stop, dude.
It was rough, man.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
Not good. Like I said, I would not wish the fall of AEW, but
Tony needs to just hire a booker. He needs someone to come in and who knows what they're doing. He needs to listen to people who know what they're doing, and because this is not working.
Because I'll be the first to say that I couldn't do it because I would just be like a kid playing with toys.
That's what he's like.
That's what he is. He's a kid playing with his wrestling toys because he has the money to throw away.
He gets the next coolest, most expensive one, and then he doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, and I heard that Sasha Banks isn't even cleared to wrestle yet.
Nope.
Why is she there?
Mic work. And I hate that they got her because, God, I would have loved to.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen a Sasha return at like Mania or the Rumble or something. It would have been great.
Yeah, I know. Hey, but it's not over yet. You know, maybe
not over.
Maybe in a couple of years she'll make her way. You know, she's been known to, when she's unhappy,
to leave.
She's been known to take her ball and go home until she gets what she wants.
Yeah.
Which I don't
appreciate.
Some people respect that a lot. I don't necessarily. But whatever. I'm not her and I'm not in the situation. I don't know what's going on, but whatever. It's just my perception of
her opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. Any final thoughts on the wrestling world?
Wrestling's great.
Yes.
I love wrestling.
Yes. Love it.
I think it's wonderful.
How you feeling? You still upset with the decisions going on at AEW? How you feeling about WWE? You know, how you feeling about TNA, ROH? Matt Hardy just made his return to TNA when everybody thought that he was coming back to the WWE. So Broken Hardy is back in TNA. Interesting to see where that goes. Just interested to see where wrestling continues to go, because right now it's very fun to be a wrestling fan. And as The Rock says, it's cool again to be a wrestling fan.
Indeed.
Any final thoughts on anything, Juice?
No, I'm looking forward to May, and we're going back to something we haven't done in a long time.
Very true.
Star Wars month.
Yes.
In May.
In May.
And we are going to tackle, I think this is one of the most important things that we will have ever done as a podcast. Agreed. So we've really got to take care and do this right. But we're going to do it. The Holy Trinity, man.
Mm-hmm.
The original Star Wars trilogy.
Trio.
May God have mercy on our souls.
Yeah, some of the most game-changing content to ever drop in the world as we know it. And we're going to tackle it.
We're going to do it.
Absolutely. Well, nerds and nerdettes, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in each week. Thank you for following and sharing and listening and all that fun stuff. And we can't wait to come back and talk Star Wars to you. But until then, take care of yourself. Take care of others. And as always, cheers to you, nerds.
There once were two dudes who met back in college. Nobody loved pop culture more. So they started a podcast to talk all about it, and 30 and Nerdy was born. Oh, 30 and Nerdy was born. You might hear them chat about shows like The Witcher or movies like Lord of the Rings. And if Josh has to choose, he is loyal to Marvel, while Tyler goes more for DC. Yes, Tyler goes more for DC. Now come, come, one and all, nerd up or shut up, just answer the call to be part of our journey into magical worlds. Join us and cheers to ya, nerds. Join us and cheers to ya, nerds.